It's 6:45. I'm Anthony Mornell with KRWG News. On Wednesday, New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham issued new orders to limit the spread of COVID-19 by limiting restaurants to takeout service and delivery, as well as closing down movie theaters, gyms, and shopping centers. The governor also announced 5 new positive tests in the state, bringing the state total to 28, which included a woman in her 40s in the Albuquerque area, which is known as the first case of so-called community spread. 5 new COVID-19 testing centers will be opening in the state, including one in Las Cruces, starting Friday. To learn more about COVID-19, I reached out to Dr. Michael Woods, an assistant professor and director at Burrell College of Osteopathic Medicine's Biosciences Research Laboratory. I want to thank you so much for joining us, Mike. To start off, can you kind of explain to us how this virus works when someone contracts it?
Yeah, so that's a good question, and quite honestly, it's one that we don't fully understand yet because it is new. And so in order for us to really be able to understand the pathogenesis of this infection and how this virus works, that's going to take some experimentation. It's going to take studies not only involving people that we know are infected, but also likely the development of some animal models to experimentally investigate that. But generally speaking, what we can say is that this virus enters the body via a mucous membrane. That could be the mouth, the nose, the airways, or even the eyes. And from there, it's going to replicate in the epithelial cells that line our mucous membranes. And this initial round of replication is going to initiate some localized inflammation. And so that inflammation in our airways is what leads to a cough that we associate with this, and also leads to the fever. Fever is really a systemic sign of inflammation occurring somewhere in the body. And after that initial round of replication, this virus eventually can make its way into our lungs. And that's because the molecule, the receptor that this virus uses to infect the cell, is expressed by many of the cells in our lungs. And so once this virus infects the cells lining our alveoli, which are the site of gas exchange in our lungs, that can lead to a really intense inflammatory reaction. The virus likely can damage or kill those cells that it infects. And that inflammation and that damage that occurs can cause what we know as pneumonia. If that pneumonia gets severe enough, then patients may develop a condition known as acute respiratory distress syndrome. And this is the result of widespread damage and inflammation that can occur in the lungs. And what's happening is that these small airways in our lungs can actually begin to fill with some edema fluid. It can fill with inflammatory cells, and that impairs the ability of oxygen to get into the blood and for carbon dioxide to get out of the blood. And so, again, this occurs in overall a minority of patients, but this is really the severe complication that we're most concerned about.
I want to move on and talk about social distancing. That has been really encouraged strongly at all levels of government, and health officials have talked about how social distancing could help stop the spread of the virus. Can you kind of explain to our audience how this action really works?
Yeah, so the fundamental goal of social distancing is to dramatically reduce the number of transmission events that occur in society, especially when the majority of infected individuals cannot or are not being identified. So a study published just Monday, so 2 days ago, in the journal Science, which is a premier journal, looked at data coming out of Wuhan, China, which is where this pandemic initially began. And what they saw was that prior to the January 23rd travel restrictions that they put in place, and that's really when Wuhan locked everything down, was January 23rd. At that point, 86% of all infections, according to this study, were actually undocumented. It means they had not been identified by public health authorities. So these were asymptomatic individuals, or these were people that were only mildly affected, and therefore were not going to the doctor, were not being identified clinically. And so while the transmission rate of these undocumented infections was about 55%, because there were so many of these undocumented infections were the infection source for 79% of documented cases. So what this tells us is that the asymptomatic carrier, or the maybe even the pre-symptomatic carrier in society, is what's driving this outbreak. And that's why we're seeing such a heavy emphasis being put on social distancing and isolation. We don't know the true number of infections present in society here in the U.S. We have not done anywhere near the level of testing that would be needed to determine that.
That was Dr. Michael Woods, infectious disease researcher.